see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome, kinswomen and kinsmen. Last week, we began this book, The Red Network, by Elizabeth Dilling, and it is quite a shock to hear the absolute cruelty of the Jews towards our people, that absolute hatred for the color of the skin, while they tell you that, oh, white supremacists and you're racist and all this stuff, they're the ones that hate the white skin. You say, well, but they look like they're white. That's because they have to marry into every race in order to keep themselves alive, because vampires cannot live on vampires, as I always say. They have to race mix. And that's why I've explained this before, that that's why they want to make sure all of our countries are pro-race mixing. Because if we wanted to obey the Father and we were against race mixing, they would stick out like a sore thumb and we would have to have some pogroms. So it's a win-win for them to get us to race mix and get us to accept all this stuff, which we shouldn't be doing. Listen, you know, if you're going to buy a horse or a dog or anything, a lot of people will buy hybrids. But you see, what holds more value? The purebred or the mongrel? You're not going to tell me that us people who are purebreds are equal with mongrels. It just doesn't hold water, and it's not going to. So we're on page 15 of this book if you want to follow along. You can find this on the archive, the Internet Archive. I think it's .org, if I remember correctly. Just put in rednetwork.pdf, and you should be able to come up with it. I was doing newsletters on my site, and it would take me 5 hours to do the newsletter, 4 hours, 5 hours. And nobody even notices I'm not doing them at this point. So I just said, well, nobody cares about them. I'm not going to bother. But it was a nice thing to, because I would always come up with some books for you, you know, in those newsletters and everything. And, you know, what are you going to do? So now you have to find them yourself, I guess. So it says Anna Smirnova, Moscow factory worker, answering questions about Russia in the Communist Daily Worker of November 10th, 1933, says, and we read a little bit of this last week, but this is where we left off and we're starting. It is true that we are unmercifully driven, I think it's supposed to be, it says driving from our ranks, driven from our ranks and from our enterprises, all those wreckers and counter-revolutionary forces in our midst. Those forces that are using all their intelligence and physical strength to hold us back and to establish a capitalist society among us. To take the place of the church, we have given the workers the theater, clubhouses, etc. To take the place of the Bible and the priests, books concerning the class struggle by Lenin and Stalin. There are quite a few churches left in the USSR. Now remember, this is back in 1936, right? It is true that with each year the number grows less. Little by little, through their contacts with this culture of ours, they, the believers, are being won over to the cause of the workers' struggle to establish a socialist society, and they find little place or time in their lives to think of religion. Won over by example of the liquidated. Have we recognized the hapless Christians or the helpless majority of the Russian people now living under the iron dictatorship of their Communist Party, which comprises but 1% of the population? See, they were talking about how these people were 1% of the population over there, too. But we know they're much, much, much more. And the Jews were a very high percentage of the Communist Party. A lot of these people came from here and were funded, like Trotsky, Bronstein, whatever his name was. So, Brownstone, that's what it must mean, or whatever. So, it says, we have not. The question was, have we recognized the hapless Christians, etc., etc.? We have not. We have recognized the Communist Party government of Russia and its Communist International, which are one and which are striving for similar power in America. We are financing agitations for our own destruction and supplying millions of dollars worth of cotton to be used for explosives for a war, perhaps against anti-communist Japan. Asia's only bulwark against communism now. We have made a pact with hell to help provide the cross upon which to crucify Christian civilization. You see, this is what I've been talking about. We enable everything. The Jews couldn't do anything if it wasn't for us. And we pay for each link of the chain of our slavery. And this is the same thing. So it says, I'll read this again. We have made a pact with hell to help provide the cross upon which to crucify Christian civilization. Tut, tut, be broad-minded, says the man educated beyond his own intelligence. One is reminded of two prisoners discussing a fellow prisoner in a motion picture. One asked, what is he in for? Didn't he kill his mutter? That's what it says, mutter. Sure, replied the other. He cut his old lady's throat, and he's sorry. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. The most broad-minded cannot say that the Soviet government is sorry. It is proud and hopeful of similar opportunities for revolution in America and 58 other countries. As the world's outstanding nation that withheld recognition of the murder regime for 16 years, we now capitulate and provide it with new hope, new pride, new funds for the fulfillment of its aims. We funded it right from the beginning. It was funded right here from Jacob Schiff. And Russia would have never got through the winters if Woodrow Wilson hadn't sent them money every year. As a reward for the Communist Daily Worker editorially promises us the following on November 20th, 1933. The success of recognition, which the workers throughout the world will celebrate and greet as a harbinger of great advances for the workers of the Soviet Union and the revolutionary proletariat throughout the world, was made possible by the stalwart and brilliant leadership of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, the party of Lenin and Stalin, a section of the Communist Internationale. That's Uncle Joe, Stalin. He's Uncle Joe. He's a nice boy, isn't he? He's our ally. We ally up with Communist Uncle Joe who kills Christians. Then we ally up with the Jews in our nation who likes to kill German Christians. And then we ally up with the Jew K who loves to kill Germans and Christians. That's the good guys. We're the good guys. You just heard what they said there, right? What she said in here, that Japan was the only stalwart, the only Asian country that was against communism. So let me ask you a question. Who really were the good guys in World War I and World War II? I'd love to see what soldiers might have to say about that. Revolutionary way out of crisis. The Communist Party of the USA, which is the Democrat Party, according to Saul Alinsky, the Communist Party of the USA, section of the Communist Internationale, points out that the only guarantee of peace is the abolition of capitalism. Its main task... Now, isn't that interesting what she just said there? Now, I had to stop there because they said that they were bringing capitalism to Russia. But they're saying here that they want to abolish the abolition of capitalism. Double-minded people, these Jews, aren't they? Its main task is the abolition of capitalism in the United States, the deepening of the crisis of American capitalism, the growing sympathy for the Soviet Union gives the Communist Party of the USA the widest possibilities of convincing and winning the American toiling masses for the revolutionary way out of the crisis. In this country, the Communist Party, section of the Communist Internationale, basing itself on the principles of Lenin and Stalin, will more determinedly than ever strive to win the American workers for the revolutionary way out of the crisis, for the emulation of the Soviet Union and its revolutionary victories. So-called victories, ladies and gentlemen. M.J. Olgin, member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party and editor of the Jewish Communist organ, Freiheit, has written a pamphlet since recognition of Russia by the United States entitled Why Communism? Which is even clearer in its open advocacy of violent destruction of the United States government. It should be read by everyone, particularly by those who have held any belief or have any belief in the piffle printed in the daily press about cessation of Soviet communistic activities in the United States, to quote but a small part of it. And here's the quote. The Communist Party of the Soviet Union is affiliated with the Communist Internationale. It is the most influential, but not the only influential party in the Internationale. It is one part, but not the whole of the Internationale. Its advice is highly precious because it has long accomplished what the communist parties of the world are only striving at, the proletarian revolution. Now, you know that the proletariat is the common man like me, right? In other words, it's not the elite. It's the, they're trying to, Now, isn't it interesting, in America, they've taken the Jews, these communist Jews have taken all the factory working away and sent it to China. Now, how would that be helping the American worker? You see what I mean? I think they changed plans is what happened since 1936. But anyway, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? The advice and experiences of the other parties, however, is also of great value in determining the policies of the Comintern. The seat of the Comintern is Moscow because this is the capital of the only workers and peasants government in the world, and the Comintern can meet there freely. As the workers become rulers of other countries, the Comintern will not have to confine its meetings to Moscow alone. The Communist Party of the USA is thus a part of a worldwide organization which gives its guidance and enhances its fighting power. Under the leadership of the Communist Party, the workers of the USA will proceed from struggle to struggle, from victory to victory, until rising in a revolution, they will crush the capital state, establish a Soviet state, abolish the cruel and bloody system of capitalism, and proceed to the upbuilding of socialism. You know what's very interesting about that? What would you say is more bloody? Is capitalism a cruel and bloody system? Well, it's certainly a cruel system. And people do kill themselves over the stock market things that go on and when the Jews steal our people's money and everything like that. So it's a lesser cruel and bloody system, but the most cruel and bloody system is communism. You see, that's what they want to do here. They want to cut our heads off with the Noahide laws. They're starting to tell people in the other parts of the world, which, of course, the Jew K is right there up leading the way to destruction for all of our races. And this is why I believe the Father really, he has things against Ephraim. Let's just put it that way. As I have read in times past to you. Ephraim makes a lot of pacts with the enemy against our own tribes. And you can certainly see that, right? You can certainly see that right now they're over there in the Jew K telling people, well, you can't preach the Bible here. If you say something that offends anybody, if anybody is offended whatsoever, well, that could be a crime now. You see, it's what it's leading up to is we'll take you into custody and we'll chop your head off because we can't have you upsetting any of the public now, can we? I mean, you wouldn't want to upset the public and tell them the truth, right? See, what it is it's the cutting off of the truth. They want to cut off the truth from the people of society, the peoples of the world, because they want to hold the exclusive right to what is truth. And I'm serious. That is exactly the way it is. We're not reading from the book at this minute. I'm commenting on this. They wish to cut truth off, like they cut Jesus off for telling the truth. Like they cut the disciples off for telling the truth. Like my YouTube channel's gone for telling the truth. And so many people have been persecuted for telling the truth. The problem is what is truth, as Pontius Pilate said? You see, the truth to a liberal is really not the truth to you and I, and it's not the truth to the Father. It's the truth of their ideology. It's not really the truth, but it is to them. So, The difference is when Jesus told the truth and we're telling the truth about the scriptures and so on and so forth, that is the real truth. And they don't like that. They're very emotional, these beasts of the field. They really can get out of control very quickly, and they want to kill. Like when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him to death. You see, they want to have an exclusive hold on what truth is and what the truth is. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The word of God is the truth. It's the way. It's the life. No man comes unto the Father but by the word of God, by Yeshua, Jesus. You see? And they have a different way. You see, but there is no different way. If any man come any other way, he is a thief and a robber. If any man get, there was somebody who got into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they were kicked out. They got in another way. Didn't have the right garments on. You dig? So they want the exclusive control over what the truth is. They don't want anybody deciding for themselves or thinking for themselves or speaking about what Jesus did in his gospel, what he did when he came here, when the Father was in the flesh. They don't want anybody to know that the Jews aren't God's chosen people. They don't want anybody to know that the gospel is not a gospel of universalism. It's a very exclusive gospel to a very exclusive people. And they just happen to not like the people that that's exclusive to, which is the white race. The devil tries to include the enemy in everything. Tries to include them in our countries, include them in our blessings, include them in our so-called religion, in our scriptures, and on and on and on and on. But see, that's not the way it's going to be. The world is lying to those people, and that's a very, very evil thing to do. To promise somebody you can have eternal life, and then they find out they can't have it. That's very cruel. But this is what the Jews do. They use people. They use the beast of the field as a weapon. So it continues. The Communist Party of the USA is thus a part of the worldwide organization which gives its guidance and enhances its fighting power. Under the leadership of the Communist Party, the workers of the USA will proceed, it said, from struggle to struggle. And yeah, we read that, right. Oh, let them blow off steam as they do in England, it says. Before obligingly parroting this subtle red propaganda, number one, read the Communist Press and the Workers' School leaflets and see there the headline quotation, and here it is, "Without revolutionary theory, there can be no revolutionary practice." Lenin. Thousands of dollars are continually raised for the Red Press in order to blow steam, quote-unquote, into the Red Movement. With this statement of Lenin's heading the printed pleas for funds. Number two, read "The Surrender of an Empire" by Nesta Webster. Potted biographies of British statesmen and the weekly Patriot, quote-unquote, of London to gain some actual picture of England's blind grapple with socialism, communism within. Boswell Publishing Company, 10 Essex Street, London, WC2. See, that's what George Orwell's 1984 was all about. Ingsoc. Big Brother. INGSOC. And believe it or not, even though English starts with an E, it's English socialism. Ingsoc. Number three, read this book in the Daily Press and ACLU reports of the determined fight the ACLU, directed by communists, socialists, and sympathizers, and may I say, of course, Jews, right? Which, you know, wages to secure free speech for Reds to blow steam into the Red Movement, where Michael Gold's statement in the Daily Worker of October 28, 1933 is typical of the communist socialist view of free speech for others. To quote, and here's the quote, I'd pay attention. I will. I hope you will. This is this communist pig speaking. This whole controversy over free speech is an academic one with these ivory tower liberals. To the worker, it is something as real as murder. It is part of the class war, not something in the clouds. Free speech is not an inalienable right. Oh, it isn't, huh? But something to be fought for, a class weapon. It's not to be given up to scabs in a strike or to Nazis and Ku Kluxers. We are not interested in hearing what they have to say. You see, we only wish to labor that they may not exist. Does that sound a little familiar from today? Read herein what Robert Briffalt says of liquidating dissenters in the article, Recovery Through Revolution Under Organizations. Number four, take note that the Garland Fund appropriation to investigate spy activities of the U.S. Department of Justice and the National Popular Government League's false charges resulted in successfully shutting off the appropriation of U.S. funds to the Department of Justice for the purpose of investigating Red activities in the USA. This was in 1925. We have since had no actual protection from the government against Reds, except some barring and deportation of Reds by the late Mr. Doak, through the Department of Labor. Miss, quote-unquote, Perkins has now changed that. Then note that the Communist Party, see Communist Organization in the United States, which was illegal and was raided at Bridgman, Michigan in 1922, after 1925 came out more boldly, until in 1928 all camouflage was thrown aside and it labeled itself Communist Party of the USA, section of the Communist Internationale. Since 1928, it has been increased in organizing party workers to 27,000 members and enlisted a membership of its subsidiary organizations of 1.2 million members, approximately the number of communists now holding down Russia's 160 million people, who, however, were put in bondage by these members of communist subsidiaries. Let me straighten that out. Russia's 160, these 1.2 million members, approximately the number of communists now holding down Russia's 160 million people, who, however, were put in bondage by not over 79,000 communists by working the United Front. Many of these members of the communist subsidiaries are our college presidents, professors, ministers, and public idols. Yes. You know the public idols, right? Like Lauren Bacall, the Jewess, Humphrey Bogart, Edward G. Robinson. There's tons of them. Idols. See? Well, they're not my idol. Study various revolutions and learn what a small number of determined agitators can actually govern a country. Observe what is being done in Washington now. 6, ask yourself if in recent years sex, pacifistic, atheistic, and socialistic propaganda has increased in America and why. 7, first familiarize yourself with the names of the leaders and principles of socialism and communism, then visit your son or daughter's college. Read the college paper and look at the college bulletin board. Observe the insidious high school journals. Then start looking elsewhere with seeing eyes. 8, finally try blowing off some anti-red, anti-pacifist, anti-sex trash, patriotic steam, and watch who opposes you. You will be surprised. What a world we're living in. This is far before I was born, probably you as well. And I mean, you know, we're born into this thing. And you're born into it, and nobody tells you that it even exists. You end up finding out about it later in life when it's practically too late, right? But like I said, these people have plans for us, and the Father has plans for us. The only problem is that the Christians in Russia were murdered, the churches were destroyed, and the rest were race mixed out of existence. I mean, I don't know, you know, I just can't imagine how this can be allowed to happen, but it has. Communist organization in the United States. The World Communist Movement is organized by 3 super organizations. The supreme head is the Communist Party of the USSR. The 2 equal and subordinate organizations are the Soviet government and the Third International. Now, I never even heard of the Third International. The ruling inner circle of the CP, Communist Party of the USSR, is a group of, geez, I wonder how many men it is. How many men do you think head up this group? How many hold up the Jehovah's Witnesses? And how many hold up the Knights Templars? 9 men. Oh, geez, I wonder why it was 9. Because that's the devil's number, that's why. That's the devil's favorite number. And 11 is his children's number. The ruling inner circle is a group of 9 men forming a Politburo, a political bureau. This inner circle rules the Soviet government and the Third International. All of the 9 members of the Politburo are high officials of the Soviet government, and all are high officials of the Third International. The supreme head is Joseph Stalin, Secretary of the Communist Party of the USSR. That's Uncle Joe. See, Uncle Joe is a very endearing term, and it implies that Uncle Joe is family. Family of killing Christians. Family of murderers. That's what the Allies are and were. No, they're not heroes. And no, they weren't fighting for your freedom. What they were fighting for was to make sure that you wouldn't have your freedom and that I wouldn't have my freedom. That's what they did. The Communist Party of the USA, section of the Communist International, which is the title of Moscow's American branch, is one of about 59 national branches of the Third International. To quote from the leaflet, Revolutionary Greetings, quote-unquote, which is presented to each new party member in the USA, the Communist Party was organized September 1st, 1919. Hello. 1 times 9 is 9, and 1 times 9 is 9, and that's 18, which is 666. Not only that, but it has 9 on the September, excuse me. 911919. So this Communist Party was organized on September 1st, 1919 by the revolutionary workers who were expelled or left the Socialist Party when it became a reformist organization. The party was declared illegal by the federal government in January of 1920 when thousands of its members were arrested. The party functioned illegally up to December 26, 1921 when it changed its name into the Workers' Party. You see? Remember what I told you? See, now there's a perfect example. This is all headed up by the Jew, and this is one of the tentacles of the Jew. So the tentacle was finally arrested and attacked, and what do they do? Just change the name of it and continue right where they left off. The name was subsequently changed to Workers' Communist Party and finally again to Communist Party in April of 1928. The party has been a section of the Communist Internationale from the day of its organization. The Central Committee of the Communist Party of the USA receives its orders directly from the Third Internationale and in turn sends out its orders through district committees in the U.S. and the communist press to communist members. The United States is now 1934 divided into 20 districts. Wow. Each with its own committee. Each district is divided into sections and subsections with section committees, mapping out in accordance with the residential location of the communist members. The district in which I live is district number 8 and comprises all of Illinois and part of Indiana and a small section of St. Louis, Missouri. A small section of Missouri, which is St. Louis, the whole place. No wonder it's the fifth most violent city in the world. The district headquarters are in Chicago, 101 South Wells Street, room 705. And the district party school for training organizers, agitators, functionaries, etc. is called the Workers' School, 2822 South Michigan Ave. New York City is in district number 2. Yeah. You know, when you go number 2, that's what New York City is. I hope you understand that. And houses also the headquarters for the entire United States and part of Latin America. New Haven, Connecticut is in district number 15. Boston is number 1. Very interesting, isn't it, that Latin America would have something to do? Now, what do we know about Latin America? What do we know about the Jews that they've gone down there and mixed with those people to where a great, great percentage of them have Jewish blood in them? And more is coming out, and more is coming out about that. So let me read this again, and that should make sense to you. New York City is in district number 2 and houses also the headquarters for the entire U.S. and part of Latin America. New Haven, Connecticut is in district number 15 and Boston is district number 1. Each section is divided into units. The units establish nuclei, 2 or 3 members, in various neighborhoods and shops. Shops, get it? Merchants? There are 2 kinds of nuclei. Shop nuclei made up of those working in one establishment and street nuclei made up of scattered membership in one neighborhood. Each unit has its own functionaries, such as organizer, agitational propaganda, director, literary agents, etc. The units, after they number more than 25 members, are frequently divided. Meetings of these units are held in the homes of members and admittances solely by membership identification, now a numbering system, 1934. General meetings of functionaries of units are held at a party headquarters with admittance only by membership and identification. Since the Communist Party is a secret society, it is impossible to know, with the exception of certain open leaders and organizers, whether or not any individual is or is not a party member. He may or may not be. Only a small percentage of Communist Party members are known as such. All party members must engage in active communist work. Otherwise, they are expelled. The Communist Party regularly cleans house of slothful or dissenting members. One word against party commands and out they go. Often, if an expelled member shows contrition, he is taken back or put on probation for more humble and tractable than he was before. This strict discipline is exercised even against the highest party leaders. William Z. Foster himself is not exempt. The offshoot Communist parties are largely composed of expelled Communist Party members who refuse to knuckle to Moscow. This military organization gives a party a cohesive, united driving force which increases its power a thousandfold and makes it only the distilled essence of revolution. As William Z. Foster once said, The Communist, for August 1933, page 716, complains that thousands are ready for party membership, but we do not bring them in. During 1932, our membership was doubled. For a number of years, it has hovered around 8,000 members. The present active number is 27,000. That's 2 and 7 is 9 again. Clarence Hathaway, January 21st, 1934. When we consider the composition of the mass organizations under our influence, with the 100,000 members and the more thousands in the left-wing oppositions, the 150,000 readers of the language press, then we immediately realize that we have already thousands upon thousands of potential forces inside hundreds of factories in the country, among the millions of unemployed, etc. Earl Browder, General Secretary of the Communist Party at the Trade Union Cleveland Conference, August 29th, again, 2 and 9 is 11, and 30th, 1933, stated that the membership of the Communist Party subsidiary organizations was 1.2 million members. We heard that figure before. This figure is considered fair by neutral experts. Russia is now being held down by about this number of communists. The revolution in Russia was put over by not over 79,000 Bolshevik fighters. Imagine that. 160 million people were taken control of by 79,000 Bolshevik fighters. The figure of 1.2 million members in the communist subsidiaries probably does not include the membership of the Allied Socialist Party, which polled around 800,000 votes in the last election. In addition to the heavy socialist and communist vote given to Roosevelt as the radicals' most practical hope, nor the IWW and Communist Opposition Parties, International Workers... something. So they complete memberships. January 1934, the Communist Friends of the Soviet Union claimed over the radio to have 2 million members. Under Soviet supervision, communist revolutions do not just happen, they are officered and planned. From Soviet sources, the Better America Federation compiled the following information. the Politburo of the USSR, the Executive Committee of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Russia, nine men, again, controls the Torgpred, or controlling organization, for the Soviet government's activities in the U.S. Torgpred is organized in three departments. One is the Razveduper, the military or naval espionage, having as heads two Voenspets, military or naval specialists of high rank. Vatsenduper is composed of three sections. Section 1 has charge of gathering information relative to the army and navy. Section 2 has charge of organizing communist centuries or hundreds, which are to be the framework of the revolutionary army. And Section 3 has charge of abolishing military power. Also, the organized espionage. It is further composed of nine branches, ladies and gentlemen. Why this number nine all the time? Number nine? Number nine? Number nine? Do you think I was kidding you about the devil and the number nine? See, six is the number of man and nine is the number of the devil. And 11 is his children's number. Crazy, man. This is crazy. Operations branch is number one. This is the nine branches now. Operations branch, information branch, disarmament branch, naval branch, aeronautical branch, transportation branch, bacteriochemical branch. Hello. Hello. And number eight, anti-militaristic branch. And number nine, liaison with Moscow. Another of three sections of Torgpred is the Cheka, OGPU, or State Political Police. Secret in practicality, secret in practically all of its activities and personnel with the following functions. A, Department of Investigations. B, Education of Anti-Revolutionary Masses. C, Organization of Assaults on Individuals Condemned by the Cheka. D, Protection of the Prominent Communist Officials Who Are at Any Time in the U.S., Whether on Open Missions or, As Is Usually the Case, Incognito. Qualifications Required of Chekists. And this is spelled T-C-H-E-K-I-S-T-S. Qualifications required of Chekists in the U.S. are as followed. Must speak and write English correctly. Must know American history and political economy. Must study minutely and in minute detail the political activity of the parties of the U.S. Number 4, must send a daily report to Torgpred. Number 5, must dress correctly and in style. Oh, that's important. Number 6, must hide their identity as well as their functions. Number 7, must never have on their persons, in case of arrest, anything which will compromise the party or anyone connected with the party. Number 8, when doing a job, must be certain they are not being watched, but if watched, escape at all costs. Number 9, never speak of their assignments, even to comrades. Number 10, never call a comrade in public. Number 11, in case arrested, never confess, not even when told their fellows have confessed. Number 12, before appearing in the court, prepare defense carefully beforehand, then speak as little as possible. 13, when arms or explosives are found on an arrested Chekist, he will swear that he found them on the street. In other words, he's a liar, right? He'll swear that he found them on the street, or that they were handed to him by an unknown person. Number 14, in prison, do not speak to anyone, not even those arrested with you. They may be spies. 15, get a communist policeman, get a communist lawyer if possible. Speak only in his presence. 16, how to maneuver policemen and judges is the first duty of an arrested communist. Violations of any of the above rules cause the Czechists so violating to be considered and treated as anti-revolutionist. Can you believe what you're hearing right now? All this to these people all give their lives and time and everything to enslave the world. In other words, they're slave to this themselves. You see what I mean? They're slaves that are helping to enslave the world. And they're revolutionaries to bring enslavement. Isn't this interesting? You know what I mean? In other words, you would think that revolutionaries would try to break free of enslavement, right? But in this case, you can see that these people are, their revolution is to enslave everybody. I mean, it leaves one speechless. It really does. It just leaves you with, why would you want to live your life like this? How important is this enslavement of people that you would give your whole life to it? You know what I mean? Of course, if you're a Jew, now that's a whole different ball of wax. But if these are, you know, generally, you know, Anglo-Saxon so-called people, which probably is not the way it is anyway, that would be really mind-blowing, I'll tell you. So it continues. The third branch of, or under Torgpred is AmTorg, so-called commercial agency of the Soviet government in the U.S., under which is ICKY, the Executive Committee, under the control of the Comintern, and that's with a K, Communist International. In the U.S., ICKY's mission is to direct the action of the American Communist Party. It studies the possibilities of action. The functions of ICKY are as follows. Organizes centuries. In clashing or strife groups, in combat groups, armed communists, 20,000 arms had already been imported in 1930 for this purpose. Obtains arms in foreign countries. Organizes special corps to manufacture grenades, bombs, and explosives. Formulates plans for disarming the police and loyal troops. Operates to break up all groups of loyal fighting workmen when the revolution starts, and to destroy when unable to capture all tanks, cannon, machine guns, and other weapons which the loyal proletariat may use. Details and instructions, reliable men who are at the zero hour will arrest you and put to death magistrates, police heads, and police officers. To seize quickly all barracks, city halls, public buildings, and newspapers. To seize and strongly occupy all public means of transportation, stations, and piers. To use sabotage on all state equipment, bridges, telegraphs and telephones, railroads, army trucks, powder mills, aviation camps, barracks, police stations, banks, and newspapers, which, if left undestroyed, will aid the state to quell the revolution. Can you believe what you're hearing? I mean, this is just, these people have no life. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Imagine the hate that's in these people that drives them to do this kind of a thing. And imagine that Germany was going to beat them all, too. And if Germany, if this country hadn't cheated and entered the war on behalf of the Jew against our own brethren. The Germans might have prevented what we're going through today. Certainly in the UK, it wouldn't have been controlled by Freemasonry anymore because they were going to tear, they had all the names of the people in the lodges and they were going to tear that whole system down. And now look at the UK now. It is absolutely under control of the Jew through Freemasonry. The courts, the cops, the judges, the city workers, etc., etc., the government, the queen. You see why they had to get Germany out of the way? They were the last bastion of Christianity in Europe. And to destroy the last bastion left the whole thing wide open like it is right now. Who's going to defend Europe? Or America, for that? America doesn't offend America, doesn't defend America. American military is subservient slaves to the Jew. They're just mercenary military. They are on order without question. They obey the orders of the Jews without question. They don't ever think about the horrible things they're doing. I mean, I'm sure some of them must. Anglo-Saxon people just have to. I can't imagine their conscience being that seared. But stranger things have happened, ladies and gentlemen. I must say that it is a surprise to me that people would actually give their lives like this to destroy people. Instead of just enjoying life and living life and having children and, you know, enjoying your family and looking at the birds and all kinds of different things, this is what the world is for these people? It's just beyond measure to me. We're on page 23 of 362. I'm speechless. I don't understand, you know, like I don't want to control anybody. I'm not looking for any power or anything like that. But there are people, especially these Jews, that are looking for that. I'm not into controlling people or wanting to enslave them or any of that kind of nonsense. I wouldn't waste a minute doing it. Doesn't that say something to you? I mean, it really is bizarre. It's demonic. It has to be demonic. Because I just can't understand wasting your whole life trying to enslave people. Your every awake minute or awoken minute or whatever, and you're going to try to subvert nations and destroy innocent people that haven't done anything to you. You know, I usually give a piece of good advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, and that is, don't go down the Soviet hole. Wanted me. The
eyes. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face. Yeah.